RTE2FM.
Dating in 2023 in Ireland is, well, everywhere is hard, isn't it? And if you're brave enough to admit you are in search of a relationship, the way in which you might look for your match is so, so varied. You can use social media. You can use dating apps. You can even go old school and ask a friend to set you up. How bizarre. Well, look, a new podcast is focusing on the changing face of single life in Ireland. In Is This The Way You're Single? Professional matchmaker Fergal Harrington and Irish Daily Mail features editor and columnist Lisa Brady explore dating, and I'm delighted to say they're in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well.
So the podcast, Is This Why You're Single? It's called. Okay, let's talk about it. Fergal, can we start with you? Because am I right in saying dating in 2023? It is hard.
Oh my God, it's so hard. I mean, we've been doing this now for 13 years, and year on year, it just gets busier and busier, and people are just so fed up of the online dating exhaustion. They're just sick of dealing with people who may be a little bit dishonest about who they are and what they are and what they're looking for. So it's a tiring kind of a exercise. So we're here trying to cut it down, be more honest, be more upfront, be for people who are looking for something long-term, genuine. But we decided to, discuss what are the pitfalls, what are the hurdles that are in everyone's way right now. And it's, distance is a big, huge issue because a lot of people online dating have like a 15 kilometer radius associated with their profile. They're thinking, I can meet the love of my life right down the road.
Okay.
And you can't. So there's lots of things that people are doing that if they tweaked slightly, they would get an awful lot more success. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
Here.
Interesting. Now, Lisa, you are coming to this conversation around dating, not only as a journalist, but also as a dater.
Mm-hmm.
How are you finding it? How's it going?
Well, it's very different.
Okay.
To, I think dating in your 40s, very different to when you may have been, you'd had less sort of, what am I going to say, baggage, life experience. So you know exactly what, you may not know exactly what you want, but you know exactly what you don't want.
Okay.
And
well,
it's like a
good
pick and mix out there, There's so many options, you just stick your hand in, you don't know what you're going to get.
Dear Lord.
It must have been terrifying initially because I can imagine, it is very different with the apps and what's going on out there.
Oh, yeah.
Were you wary? Were you apprehensive? Did you get advice? Did you just go, I'm going to try it? Did you have a try everything approach? Or
do you know
specific?
Very good point. I think what it is it's such a different world. And Fergal's already mentioned the online world of dating, which is huge because I remember back in my 20s, which wasn't today nor yesterday.
Awesome.
Or even like early 30s, and anyone who was online dating, you'd be like, are you all right? Are you really desperate? What's going on there? And now it's like the way to date, or one of the very, specific ways that you can find a partner. And it comes with, it's like a different world. It's a whole new lexicon. There's kind of rules, there's etiquette, and everyone loses their manners. I don't care what you say.
And
everyone loses their manners.
Did you learn on the job, so to speak?
Like,
is there a website? Is there a guideline?
No,
is it just a free-for-all?
Do you know what it is? You just have to, like, take the plunge and then, and you kind of, you go in quite naive, I think. You're like a little wet behind the ears and you're like, oh, these people, this is actually really nice and there's some really nice people online here. And then you realise, and there's so much choice. And then you realise that, well, firstly, they may not purport to be who they actually are. Mm-hmm. They may not even be a person. And then they're generally, you find you're coming back, there's the same old, there's a very small pool of people. It's quite depressing, really.
But there's not. There's too many.
Exactly.
People.
No, well, I was going to say.
Well, okay.
But with the rate of divorce in Ireland and in England, whatever, you would think there was a load of 40-something-year-old eligible people who were in the same situation.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it. We say nothing. We bury it. Bury it deep. Don't say you're lonely because that's a sign of weakness.
It's also a big difference between women in their 40s and men in their 40s.
Well, men in their 40s now, the Peter Pans out there now.
Oh, don't even go there, honestly. I can't.
The commitment phobic types, the Johnnies that will ring up and say, here, do you have any 22-year-olds in the books? I'm like, yeah, we do, Johnny, but they don't want to meet you because you're 45. So, sorry for you.
Can I just say, Irish men in their 40s, they think that they have this mentality that they age like a fine wine. that they don't actually have to do anything to maintain, yeah. you know, their looks, their charisma, their confidence, their, you know, and it's like, no, lads, sure, you have to go back.
I had a guy who rang
you know,
up. He was 48.
Start to work on yourself.
This guy was 48 yesterday or the day before. And the first time he rang me, he was 36. And then he started giving it to me saying, what do you mean you can't get me a 24-year-old? I was like, had you requested a 24-year-old when you were 36, it might have been more possible, but you're 48 now. Hmm. So they blame you. They say, well, if I'm paying you for a service, you get me what I want. If I'm paying, I was like, and it's not, you mentioned Pick and Mix. It shouldn't be a Pick and Mix. You're not buying a product here. So people need to be more open-minded and understand that it's not just about what I want. It's about, you know, me being attractive to them too.
I know, okay. But you have to be attracted to them.
Yeah, yes. But am I right in saying that it's the majority men coming to you looking for help, professional help, or generally looking for matchmakers or looking for professional help?
I'm not surprised,
help?
Jen.
In the 20s and 30s, there's more men available than women in this country. But in the 40s, 50s and 60s, it slightly goes the other way around. But it's not that men are looking for more help. Women are just better at making decisions and planning ahead. Women are fantastic planners. They'll say, okay, in 5 years, I want to be here. In 10 years, I want to be the master of this. I want to be the partner in that law firm. They know they want to have kids by this, that, and the other. Guys are like, oh, let's just see what happens. Let's wait and see. And it's just this lack of organization on men's part just actually lets them, you know.
And they're calling you in a panic.
I had a guy who was 39. He said, all I want is for her to be pregnant when I'm 40. And I was like, dude, you haven't joined yet. Let's just not put the cart before the horse for a second here. And pace things
really?
More sensibly.
Really? Said that? Okay. So it's like they've had their fun and now it's like panic stations.
20s and 30s. Then you're 36, 37, 38. You're going to 10 weddings a year. Like, oh God, this is great. But like, I'm happy for my friends, but I kind of want that too. How do you do this? It's like, all right, here we are. I'm single still. So it's a lot of that. There's an awful lot of that. Like we have members from 20 to 93, but in the biggest cohort is 33 to 49. And we're the oldest that we've ever been in Irish society.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, self-development, further educating ourselves, climbing the ladder. Career is more important, progression. The relationship thing just seems to be put in the back burner for an awful lot of people. And then they think, oh, crap, I better hurry up and do that. But then they have these expectations that can't be met. Men, it's age. Travel is a huge issue.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Tell me about the travel. So what are people saying to you?
Okay, there are twice as many women living in urban areas than men. So in Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Galway, Belfast, there are twice as many females. So that's why when we hear people who are on like eHarmony and, you know, whatever, Tinder, they're like, oh, I don't know why I'm not meeting anyone. I'm seeing the same faces over and over again for the last 3 years. And that's because they've got a 10 to 15 kilometre radius associated with their profile. So they're not casting the net wide enough. So I'll get John Joe, who'll ring up from Tralee and say, you know, I'm, you know, a farmer in Tralee and I want to meet someone in around 5 to 10 kilometres from my house because I'm a dairy farmer, so I can't travel.
But hang on now. Yeah. Lisa, okay, you're on the app and you have two kids. Is
yes.
that right?
And this is what I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, practicalities.
We are time poor. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a huge bugbear I have because we disagree on a lot of stuff on the podcast.
We do, guys.
Just saying. And I think, you know, for Fergal to say that, you know, we don't cast our net wide enough. I get the whole, okay, 15 kilometres may be cutting it a bit fine, okay. But, you know, you don't have time to travel 200 kilometres to find your perfect match that you may only get to see maybe once a month.
Would you rather meet someone who lives 10 kilometres away from you that ticks one of your boxes? Or would you rather meet a guy 2 hours away who is 9 out of 10 boxes ticked?
But chances are they're not going to be 9 out of 10 boxes ticked because they live too far away.
Not
and what if they're not going to move? I'm not going to move?
What if? There's a lot of what ifs in there, actually.
Jen, come on. Whose side are you on?
I have guys who ring and say all the time, will you make sure that she's willing to move to me if we get on? I was like, you haven't gone out with her yet.
Yes, look, I do agree with Fergal to a point that we tend to put obstacles in our way when it comes to dating.
Can I ask you, when you go out on a date, on a first date, when do you mention the kids?
Oh, I think you have to mention from the get-go. And actually, I would be of the opinion, and again, possibly putting an obstacle, you know, but from my experience, it's better for people with children to date people with children.
Okay.
That's just my experience. I think there's an understanding, there's a mutual understanding.
So would you only date someone who had kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that not an issue, but would that be a hurdle?
It's limiting yourself because there's amazing guys out there that probably will be the best fathers ever. And then there's people who had kids that should never have had kids.
That's a very good point.
I would not be doing that either.
Okay, well, we'll put it this way. What if you...
Domestic, guys.
Yeah, what if you have a guy who's like... And this, again, maybe I'm being judgmental, possibly.
No.
But, you know, not like me. But a guy who's like 49, for example, has no kind of relationship status history, so has never been engaged, has never been married, has never had children, and all of a sudden wants to jump on that bandwagon. What is your... I'm sorry, but that is a huge red flag.
I have a huge amount of women who actually call and say, here, do you think I should not tell anyone that I have kids first? And I was like, she thinks it's unattractive. I was like, well, if the guy is not going to be attracted to you because you've got kids, you don't want to waste your time dating the guy in the first place. So rule him out.
But there has to be a balance as well. Like, I've seen some profile pics and guys have been so lazy. Like, they don't bother taking a proper selfie or, you know, trying to sell themselves in any way. So they actually get an old picture. There could be two children in them. They have like black marker and they scribble out the children's faces and they expect you to be like blown away by that. Oh yeah, take me now. Like, what the hell is that?
She's easily
okay.
pleased.
Okay, since you've gone into the dating world, what have you learned? I mean, I'm pretty sure that you know what you're doing at this stage, or do you ever really figure it out?
But life is a journey, you know, we're always learning.
But do you know what I mean? In the beginning, you don't know the rules of the game, but you're still playing the game. Do you get better at the game? Do you get better at it?
I think you develop a tougher exterior and you tend to be like, you know, you lose that naivety. So you know that if you, for example, get this inkling that somebody is not quite what they appear to be, you know, I always say to someone if they think that maybe that they're being catfished or they're not quite sure if this person is genuine, tell them to like take a selfie straight away, send it to you, like if you're on WhatsApp or whatever. And if they kind of, if the selfie is too perfect or if they're too sort of, if they're resistant to send an actual, you know, real time picture, chances are, and I'm not talking about like a rude picture, I'm just talking about like, where are you in that, you know, in that particular moment, chances are they're not real. And there's a lot of them out there.
The travel thing is coming up quite a bit on the text machine here. Lad, somebody just texted me saying, guys won't travel from Dublin to Laois to meet. It's only 45 minutes away. No effort put in. There we go. So this is the thing.
So the thing about Laois.
It's a microwave mentality. I want it now. I want it here. I want it right away. I want it all convenient. And it's not convenient.
Jen, I'm recently single and the dating scene is actually so much better than it was when I was last single 4 years ago. I think that the pandemic has shown us that we're all time poor and we don't want to waste our time. I now give people one date and
two hours
to decide, whereas I used to give a man 3 dates to see if we got the spark. Well, what do you say to that first?
I spoke to a woman who said, I'm not going to go near that guy again because his belt didn't match his shoes. So we are a bit too quick to judge, I think, there now. And one date, you know, people can be nervous. They might talk too much or too little. I think you need to give a second date. You need to actually just test the waters, meet a second time, third time. Because they can surprise you. When people say to me, oh, I know instantaneously that I'm attracted to that person and it's chemistry straight away. It's like, you're not.
But no, I disagree. I think there is. You do know straight away if there's going to be a spark or not. Like you can't and you can't manufacture that. That's something that just happens.
That's like when people say, look, I'm not being bad, but then they say something really bad.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You look at somebody, do I fancy them? Do I want to play tennis
but
with
they
them?
Fancy you?
Hi, Monica, by the way. Sorry, shout out to your mother who listens to the show, who knows what playing tennis is. Hi, Monica. Speaking of tennis on the first date, yes or no? Fergal, what do you say?
If you want a second date, no.
Fergal.
If you want to bring someone home to meet your family for a third or fourth or fifth date, then don't play tennis on the first date. Sorry.
What if you're dying for a game of tennis?
I promise you now, if guys are honest, they would rather not.
Okay. You are extremely honest. Isn't
yeah,
he?
He's a little
like I would
too
have said,
honest.
Oh, if you really want, you know, if you want to, and maybe see how it goes. Okay, give us some more tips then. Okay, what are the mistakes people are making, and what do they need to stop doing?
Academic snobbishness is the biggest issue from women towards men. We get an awful lot of women every day who ring up and say, unless he has a PhD from Trinners for Winners, I'm not going to meet him. Unless he has, you know, a psychology degree from, you know, UCD, I don't even go there. And we're like, no, because Irish guys don't put as much emphasis on third level education as much as women do. So for every one woman who has third level education, there's only 0.6 of an equivalent male. So the guys who may have left school early at 12 or 13, start their own business, are massively emotionally intelligent, really good communicators, they don't get a look in from the women a lot of women, because women equate intelligence solely with academic qualifications. That's the problem. That's a huge issue.
Wow.
You see all sorts of women, 40s, oh my friend, she's gorgeous, circa, gorgeous, 42. She's partner of the law firm. She's like, she's killer body, yoga, Pilates, omega levels, like to beat the band. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's loads of those. But then they won't give the other guys the time of day because they think they're not worthy. So equating intelligence solely with academic qualifications is a huge issue.
Distance. We've discussed.
And then age. So we'll get, you know, women will call us every day, say, I'm 55, but I look 45 because I do Pilates and all yoga and stuff like that. So I don't want to meet a guy 55 because guys over 55 all look, you know, bald and overweight. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. And so we say, well, that's kind of a sweeping generalization. We probably shouldn't do that. But then guys will ring at 40, as I said, and say, I want a 25-year-old. So age, people don't realize, actually, it's not just about what I want. The other person has to want me back. So we need to start thinking that way. And the travel thing, I swear to God, is a huge issue.
Okay, yeah, well, that's been glaring. That's alarming. And if you are in the dating scene, maybe you should widen your distance a little bit. Jen, I'm 38.
Your net.
Widen that net. Jen, I'm 38, straight guy, and I'm dating and looking to meet a woman, anything over 30 and into her 40s. But I would like kids. Something women don't want to admit if they're over 37 is that they want kids and marriage, whereas younger women will be more honest and say what she is after. It's so frustrating. You need to be honest about what you're after long term.
Of course, they do. But like, guys ring me all the time and say, oh, women can't have kids over a certain age. Like they've automatically become an obstetrician after having one chat with a guy over a Guinness in Neary's. It's like, relax, stop making sweeping generalizations.
Yes.
There's women having kids in 50s. Like, we have women coming in now that are having kids before they meet the guy. They're doing it themselves.
Yeah.
They're getting sperm donation, whatever else, because they just can't. The guys won't hurry up and get on with it. So they're like, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yes.
I'm independent. I've got money. I've got my own job. So that's,
I'm gay and there's such a stigma about age in my community. Yeah. I don't know if you see this, as far as I can see anyway. I'm in my late 30s and no women my age are interested in dating me. They want to date younger women. It makes no sense.
It's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard for women. An awful lot of the time people say a lot of women won't come in and be honest about being lesbians because there's the guilt if they have kids already that they feel. But guys will be much easier to actually do that. They find it much more, you know.
Yeah, I think what it all comes down to is like owning your, you know, your lived experience and, you know, and what hasn't worked for you in the past. And to be brutally honest, I think we have to be brutally honest. I also think, you know, okay, there possibly is, you know, some topics you don't maybe discuss on the first date, but in general, you've got to be honest. You know, here's my family, here's what I'm looking for. Otherwise, why are you bothering?
It sounds like, Fergal, you come across people like Lisa all the time who, you know, she's been through, she has her life set up, she's a successful woman and knows what she wants.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent, and definitely knows what she doesn't want. And then there's you on the other hand that you're going, well, maybe get out of your comfort zone, try something a bit different, widen the net a little bit, go the extra distance. Is that inherently the battle here? Really,
yes.
You're just trying to convince each other.
People always say, well, this is my type. And
you both have very good points, and I'm kind of on the fence, really, because I would agree with Lisa in a sense that I would know exactly what I don't want, and I am time poor, and I need certain things for it to work. Otherwise, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
But then, are you willing to make those sacrifices?
I'm time poor too, but it's still, I have to be really honest with people. If you're looking for success, you need to stop going for the same type over and over again. They say it all the time. This is not my type. It's like, well, your type hasn't worked so far, Mary. So stop going for that same type and just be open. Be a bit more open. Mm. I mean, 80% of people before COVID used to meet in college, work or socially. And then post-COVID, it's all changed. And people have to change things up. And they don't like to change. We don't like to change. But the vast majority of people who join us are like, oh, I'm a nice person. I'm just genuinely, I don't know where else
they
to go.
Are.
Yeah. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing, where they're going. And they know, like, you know, in a certain way where they want to be. They do. They would like to have kids. They would like to have the white picket fence. But it's how to actually get there is so difficult to navigate, you know, in Irish society. It's really hard. And the twitchy curtains and the nosy neighbours, it's still all there.
I don't know about that.
It is there. I tell you.
I think at the end of the day, it's all about connection. you know, and that's what, you know, you want to feel that connection with somebody and that chemistry. And I don't think, again, I'll say that again and again, I don't think that's something, it's that has to be there. That spark has to be there. You have to feel it in your gut, you know. But I do agree with Fergal in a sense that we do have to stop. Maybe we do have these preconceived notions of someone who's maybe, you know, their occupation, where they come from, you know, and we do have to shed that.
Have you been on dates where you've gone, oh my God, I would never normally go out with a guy like this?
I've been on, yeah, I've been on dates where I suppose I have been, you know, there's you get the ick straight away. You just do. Like tightness is, you know, don't give me someone who's scabby. Like I can't, you know, if they're looking at the menu and their kind of nose is wrinkling at the prices and, you know, or if they've got bad table manners or if they smell or if they have, you know, if they're under 6 foot. Sorry. Oh, no, here we go. No. I just threw that in.
I know so many women. I know so many women. Like you're tall. I get it.
And you know what I have to come back with there, Jen, is the fact that only 30% of Irish guys are over 6 foot. And the average height of a male is 5'8".
You have a lot of stats going on this morning, Fergal. You really do, yeah.
5'5.5 for women, 5'7.5 for men.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's fact.
So he's not out there.
So her saying, Lisa's saying, I'm only attracted to guys over 6 foot. Good for you. That's fine. But like, yeah. We can't change the reality of...
Yeah, it's just called evolution. I'm sorry. Like, it's going back to caveman times.
I'm sorry. Like,
move to Sweden.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Average height, I think, 6'2".
There
you go with
Sweden
the stat again, mother of God.
Were you on a date when somebody was particularly tight?
Yes, I was. I do remember.
Go on.
So he was, I think he was like French Swiss, something like that. And he was a little disgusted with the, there was a bit of food snobbery going on from the, you know, the restaurant that we picked, which by the way, I thought was absolutely grand, lovely. Looking at the prices, oh, this is very expensive. He'd already told me a story about how he hated food wastage and about his grandfather used to, like, they'd eat an apple and they'd eat it to the very, like, basically, they'd eat the core and all and spit out the pips. And I'm like, oh, this isn't, I'm not loving this at all. Food comes along and there was little tapas and I was actually starving, but I was afraid to order much. And then there's like, you know, we had a like mozzarella salad and I remember that he actually, well, one of us, could have even been me, knocked the salad slightly. So a ball of cheese fell on the floor. And he uttered those fatal words, Lisa, you may not kiss me after this. Picked up the cheese. It was a wet food, remember? And picked off the stuff and put it in his mouth and chewed it. And I'm looking at him going, well, I wasn't going to kiss you anyway, mate. But after that, forget it. And he also...
But he lived in D4, come on.
He didn't. I don't know where he lived. I don't know what Rocky came out of. Awful.
Yeah. I feel for you. I really do. Okay, so finally, a question for both of you. What is your number one piece of advice to someone who is starting their search for a relationship? They're out there. They're listening. What is your piece of advice, Lisa? What are you saying?
Don't settle. Be yourself.
Oh, God.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry, Fergal. But that's just the way it is, right? It's all right for you, Mr. Married. Don't settle. Don't be, you know, don't listen to people who are like, oh, you know, maybe, yes, open your mind slightly to new experiences.
Okay.
Different people, okay? But there's certain standards. You just don't want any red flags. And if there's any sign of, you know, somebody being controlling, you know, if they're not physically attractive to you, what is the bloody point?
I think you're right.
And I think, I'm sorry, if somebody can't spell, get away from me.
Heightest, ageist.
Completely. Not mad about someone who may have dyslexia.
Any
conditions.
Oops. Oh, yeah,
no.
Sorry. Okay, no, forget that last part. But no, do you know what I mean? You have certain standards.
I totally
You know what rocks, you know what floats your boat, and don't go for anything other than that. And keep learning and keep, you know, have that thick skin because you'll need it out there. You really will.
I don't condone a lot of what she just said.
You think?
Stop procrastinating. Stop saying, you know, oh, you sure, I must get around to that one of these days. You know, I'll do that when I'm 40 or I'm not so busy or when I'm this, that and the other. So get out of your own way, stay in your lane, but also just stop procrastinating. Just go for it now and don't be second guessing yourself and start, you know, don't question whether I'm good enough or I'm hot enough or maybe I should lose a few stone.
You don't need to. You're gorgeous. You're silver fox.
Well, you lose a few stone and then you think, oh, maybe my teeth could be a bit whiter. And there's never a perfect time. Like when people say, oh, when should I have a baby? Never a good time. It's always going to be stressful. Everything is stressful about it. So just don't worry so much.
Do you have headphones, lads?
Yeah.
Yeah, stick them on because I have a caller on the line. Anne, how are you?
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Listen, you have some advice, I think. What's your advice?
Just jump in and go for it. Just go for it. What's that to lose, like?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And have you just recently jumped into the dating scene? Have you been doing it a while? How are you getting on?
Oh, no. I'm only very, very recent, like a month. A month and a half.
Okay.
I was very much a relationship person before that. You know what I mean? I never done the online thing. I always would meet people organically and just chat to them and go from there. But... I tried the online thing, like, as I said, just over a month ago. And sure, yeah, you've nothing to lose. Go for it.
Just go for it.
Be honest. Say what you want. Say what you don't, more importantly.
So you're a bit of both now. You're like Lisa and Fergal's love child because you're saying just go for it, like Fergal is saying, but also be honest in what you want and what you
100%,
don't want.
Yeah, I do agree with the guys, like don't settle. Like when you get to a point in your life where you've tried the relationship thing, if you've had a failed marriage or failed relationship before, you're going to learn from that and realise what you don't want. Sometimes that's more important than what you do. Because people will come at you with like, oh my God, I'm this, I look like this. Well, fair play to you. What do you like as a person? Are you decent? Like, are you kind? Are you clever? Or are you just all about your looks? And to be honest, you can...
And that's huge, actually. Are you sound? Are you a decent person? Are you a kind person?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can sit looking at someone and they might be beautiful, but if you've nothing to talk about and you can't have a laugh, jog on.
Oh, yeah. And sense for president. Humor. Huge.
And you said you're on your way up to meet your second date now.
Yes, so this is my second ever, or this is my first ever second date.
Wow.
Completely new to the dating scene, but she seems lovely. We get on really well. I don't know if it's a common thing, but any of the gay girls listening, lesbian dates last a long bloody time.
Yes.
Really? What do you mean they last a long time? What are you doing?
You're just having the chat, like, you're just there and like...
You said you were 11 hours on your first date.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah, so we met in town and we went to the gallery and we went to the museum. We grabbed coffee, we grabbed food, and then it was like 7:15 and I was like, okay, crap, I actually have to go home. I'm working in the morning. But it's just easy, and when you're having the chat and you have that like relaxed kind of vibe and connection and you just chat as if you've actually known each other for more than a week.
How far are you going, Anne? How far are you going to meet this one?
I'm going into Smithfield.
Okay, from where? How long of a distance?
From about an hour's drive.
Okay, good on you.
Go on, Anne.
Yeah. Sure, why not, lads? If you've got a car, what's the big deal?
This is it. Have car, will travel.
I love it. I love it.
She's a rocket sense.
Yeah, I love it. You're amazing. And listen, have a great date. Thanks for getting in touch with the show.
Guys.
Thanks for calling in. There we go. It's a bit of everything, isn't it?
It's a bit of, you know,
take the leap, you know, but don't settle. Don't settle.
Do you know what Anne said there? When time flies, when you feel like you're just in this, you know, different time space and with somebody, and it flies, and you're just enjoying yourself so much, you're lost in the moment. That is such a good sign.
Before we go,
yes.
What advice did Monica give you for dating, or does she give you your mom? Go on.
Oh, geez.
Does she say anything?
Don't play tennis on the first date.
Very good advice.
Doubles.
She's very good. Wise woman. Lisa and Fergal, thank you so much for joining us. Huge reaction. I think it spoke to a lot of people for various reasons. Their new podcast is called Is This Why You're Single? And is available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll also podcast this chat shortly. So if you want to listen back, you can catch it on our one. And if you're on the dating scene and if you have some advice that you would love to share like Anne did, please do get in touch. It's 51552.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.